Jason Bianski joins us. First, to tie that together, obviously you had dealings with Bill Irwin.
Yes, it's a great loss to our community. As I mentioned just a little earlier, Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton and I, Reba Ragsdale, just visited here recently with Bill and up at Crestview Retirement Home, and got to visit with him for a little bit. Got a beautiful smile and I guess a wave goodbye, you know, when we left. But a wonderful man, a true community servant here in Bryan College Station. Has done so much, whether it was at the university and his generosity to our communities, to our nonprofits. I served with him on many foundation and nonprofit boards, and you know, he is top of the line. I think you had Dr. Bird. We'll talk a little bit about him earlier, and Milton Dare and I both served with him on the St. Joseph Foundation board, and had a lot of great times together, and did a lot of good for the community together. So he'll truly be missed.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit as we look back now. It's been a couple of weeks since the Kyle Field Hotel Motel tax deal was made. From the city of Bryan's standpoint, you pleased with that?
Our city council, there won't be any action by the Bryan City Council on this matter. We have a consensus of all seven of our council members that this is a good thing for our community. This is going to come out of a hotel motel tax. This will be an additional 0.75% hotel motel tax paid for by the visitors in the city of Bryan. I think our contribution is quite small compared to what College Station and Brazos County are putting into it, but I think we're looking at about $50,000 a year. But as we grow with new hotel rooms and new beds in the next few years, our contribution will increase. But again, if you look at the overall impact on the community that the university has, that these games are having, by no means did anyone on our city council and our community want to see these games relocate for a year or two to Houston or San Antonio and impact our businesses the way they did. So this is it's not going to impact the current hotel motel funds and dollars that we receive. So all the nonprofits and all the tourism venues that benefit from it will not be impacted from it. This will be an additional 0.75% tax on the visitors of our community, and it's sunsetted. So after I think $36 to $38 million is raised, then it'll go away.
Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan, joining us this morning. When will the West Side Historic District come back before council? And as one member of council, what's your position?
Well, we plan on addressing that here in the last meeting of February, and we're looking at many options. I mean, it's about split, Scott. It's the tough decision when you're on the council. You half the people are happy and half the people are upset sometimes on how you vote. And if you look at the folks that we've talked to and our here citizens, our public hearings, I would say it's even 50-50 for and 50-50 against. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and some education that needs to be done, and we want to better educate the people of the pros and cons and benefits of the West Side Historic District. But we'll be addressing it, and we've got some compromises that we're going to probably look at presenting in the near future that might be a beneficial to the residents out there, whether they are allowed to vote on it, whether we do additional kind of petition process, an opt-out process, but or maybe we shrink the area. But the folks that want it are very strongly in support of it, and the folks that are against it are pretty strongly against it. So it's a tough deal. It's going to be one of those tough decisions. I'm for historic preservation. I'm also for neighborhood conservation. This is a neighborhood conservation issue, but again, I don't want some people that are against it are talking about it taking 2 or 3 weeks to get approval to paint their house. That's nonsense. I mean, we need to have a response within 24 hours or 48 hours on something like that, and it needs to be the bare minimum. But again, we've also lost a lot of historic properties on the west side over the years, and so there's a lot of folks that have put a lot of money in that area that want to improve the area. If you look at the South Side Historic District in College Station, look at the East Side Historic District in Bryan, they have increased the property values. And, being in the real estate business, some of the first things you'll see in a listing on those properties is East Side Historic District or South Side Historic District in College Station. That is a big selling point. So I know some folks are afraid that it will increase their taxes. Well, anytime your property values go up, you will pay a little bit more in taxes. But in the sense, we've lowered our tax rate this past year. We want to continue to do that, and it protects the area. And again, a tough decision, but something we'll be looking at and addressing in the next 30 days.
You have once again floated an idea of making some changes to the to the golf course, pluses and minuses. What kind of reaction have you got?
Well, we're looking at a new strategic plan, and we're also looking at spending $1 million to $2 million on potential capital improvements. And anytime, Scott, that we're going to spend that kind of money on capital improvements, it's something we need to talk about, and we need to look at the pros and cons. And I've had a lot of people approach me that would like to see other uses. I think we definitely understand from the referendum a couple of years ago that the people of Bryan, the citizens of Bryan, would like to keep that and maintain that as green space and as a park. So by no means or the council or the staff trying to sell that park. That is not on the agenda. There's no buyers. That's not being discussed. So if you hear that, that's just a bad rumor. We do want to maintain it as a park. We've got a lot of new families moving into the community that would like to see that as maybe ball fields. I've had people talk about an anatorium, a water park. You know, we've had they've got a really nice water park in College Station. The citizens of Bryan would like a nice water park in Bryan. We've had people talk about making it a really nice nine-hole facility. We've had people float the idea of possibly lighting the facility, and I think it was quoted that I would play if it was only nine holes. My quote, which was misquoted, was I would play if it was a nine-hole litted course at night at 8 o'clock at night when my kids are in bed. But but before we spend millions in improvements, and then we've got people that have called me here recently that before you spend $1 million to $2 million, why don't you buy Briarcrest Country Club? Well, we've gone down that road before. It's not for sale. That was voted on by the citizens also, and so that's off the table. Maybe we work something out with one of our other public courses, and we work with them on membership and work with them on maybe subsidizing rounds of play for our golfers here. But, you know, we're a unique situation. We've got three private country clubs. Take those out of the picture. But we also have three public golf courses in Bryan College Station, which is unheard of. It's unheard of for most communities to have two public play type golf courses. And we're also competing with the private sector golf course. But we're just looking at options. We're sending it to the Parks and Recs. They're going to discuss it. Nothing's been decided. There's not a hidden agenda of what we want to do. But I think anytime, Scott, that we want to spend $1 million, $2 million on improvements, we're losing anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 a year on it. You know, sure, parks aren't money generators, but we don't lose that kind of money on our other parks, and then we have to look at the pros and cons. But I think there could be a win-win where everyone benefits and more people can enjoy that space and still have something nice for the golfers. So we're going to explore different options, and I've talked to a lot of pro golfers and non-golfers alike that have some wonderful ideas. And, you know, over the next few years, we'll address it.
Well, a quick response then, if there's anything that you haven't covered, the Eagle pretty well took you all to task. In an editorial saying, leave it alone. Don't you get the message? They had an unscientific poll that said 71% of the people want it left alone. Do you have a response?
71%. Their poll was 71% want to keep it 18 holes versus nine holes.
Right.
I would like to see that poll polls the citizens on how many people would like to keep it a golf course or other people like to use it for other parks and recreation use. I have talked to dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of people that said, yes, we did vote to keep it a park and we did vote to keep it a green space, but by no means did we vote to keep it a golf course. That was not on the referendum. It was voted to keep it as a park space, and that message comes across loud and clear to the council. But if we're going to spend $1 million, $2 million on improvements and compete with other golf courses in the area, we've got A&M. If you haven't seen, they're redesigning and redoing their whole course. They're going to be tough competition in a year, and our numbers are still down. Imagine what they're going to be like a year from now. So the citizens are going to have to decide if we want to keep subsidizing at a $300,000-$500,000 a year rate, if there could be some other use before we spend that kind of money, and we'll figure out the best means to do it. But we just want to look at options right now. This is not something that's going to be decided on anytime soon. We've always said that we need to go back before the Parks and Recs and let them look at some options and talk and let us study a little bit more before we make those type of improvements and expenditures.
Got it. Okay, finally, anything else you got for us today?
Nope, Scott, just appreciate the opportunity to come in. We'll be looking at the budget cycle here in the next few years. Things are looking up in Bryan. You know, our sales tax are up. Valuations are up. We've got a lot of new businesses coming to town. We just celebrated the expansion of of Woodbolt. You know, they again, it was mentioned 75 jobs, 75 new jobs. They didn't talk about the other 50 to 75 jobs that are already paying $50,000 to $60,000 a year in wages. New development. Anytime we can bring in new business to our community, new sales taxes, new property taxes, that's money that can be put back in infrastructure, put back into parks and those services, and also look at reducing the property tax rate.